chapter 1, starting at verse 26, and it's on page 1026 in the Church Bible. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Thank you, Maggie, for bringing that Bible reading to us on the second Advent Sunday. In general, the Annunciation, it means the announcement of some news. Biblically, and especially during this season of Advent, Annunciation means announcement of the incarnation of Christ Jesus by the angel Gabriel to Mary. Incarnation of God into human form is one of the pinnacles of all the miracles ever happened. And it is beyond our human thinking. And it is something supernatural. When we talk about incarnation, we don't go deeper into that. Rather, we will be mentioning Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. Perhaps during Christmas season, we might ponder a little bit further, like the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. The power of the Most High overshadowed her, and she gave birth to a Holy One whom called the Son of God. We don't feel discussing about it beyond this, because we are not at the ease of defending our doctrinal issues, or sometimes not comfortable in communicating that with our non-Christian friends. We join with millions of Christians around the world in saying the Apostles' Creed, that I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. This is, of course, a quieter statement. Our theologians throughout the history have helped us in understanding this statement through their various studies, out of which one of the remarkable and a helpful document is published in the Westminster of Confession of Faith, which was emerged in the 17th century. This is an excerpt from that document mentioning about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It says, "The Son of God, the second person in Trinity, being very and eternal God of one substance and equal with the Father, did, when the fullness of time had come, take upon him man's nature with all the essential properties and common infirmities thereof, yet without sin, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary of her substance, so that two whole, perfect and distinct natures, the divine and human, were inseparably joined together in one person, without conversion, without composition, or without confusion. This person is truly God and truly man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man." Now, I would like you to memorize this and come prepared for next Sunday for a test, and we will see how well we have done in that. Essentially, the heart of it is this: Jesus Christ was born of a human mother without the agency of a human father. This lies at the heart of the Christianity. There are 3 points that stand out in this staggering divine mystical arrangement. Firstly, there was no conversion takes place. There is no conversion from divinity to complete humanity. Or, after becoming humanity, it is not that the divinity has been completely faded away. These two stand side by side. These two take part in one person. Both the divine nature and human nature. Secondly, there is no composition. It means the Trinity did not produce any new creature. A creature who is neither God nor man. Thirdly, there is no confusion in the person or the nature of Jesus Christ between his human and divine nature. We need to hold on to this, and we need to traveling with this cord whenever we encounter different passages in the scripture. Then that will deliver us from all our queries about the true nature of Jesus Christ. He is the second person in Trinity, and that makes us to stand on our knees. This theology can be understood only by simple faith, and no textbooks can explain this. Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." It does not mean that God has purposely hidden these things from the wise men and allowed only our preschool children to know about it. It is not about being childish to understand this concept, but it is about being childlike to receive Christ in our heart. Some people say that unless I understand, I cannot believe this. But I say to you now, unless you believe it, you cannot understand this. It is not from mind to heart. It is from heart to mind. You might have heard this old hymn. I'm looking at Chris. Not because of old, because of him. It is about, tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Christ and his love, of Christ and his glory. Tell me the story simply, as to a little child, because I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Wonderful, beautiful, simple hymn. It is about receiving Christ in a humble way, receiving Christ into our heart, saying that, Lord, I am weak, I am weary, I cannot understand the mysteries you have brought into this world. I even could not understand the birth of you as a divine one coming into this world as a human form. And, you know, like the scripture is not understanding by sophistication. It should be understood by simplicity. And that simplicity, that humbleness, that meekness in nature was found in this little girl, Mary, whom the angel Gabriel announced something, miraculous things happened, going to happen in her life. The angel said, you will conceive. This was the first section of what the angel said to Mary. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. This is the message. He didn't say anything more than that during that first section. But it was understood in a different way. If I was in Mary's place, after hearing this announcement, I would think that, yes, I am betrothed now with Joseph, and this angel is saying that I am going to be delivering, give birth to a son, which is a quite common and an obvious one, because I am going to have the child through my husband Joseph. So what is there in it? I would have thought like that. But why then Mary questioned, how can this be, Lord, since I am a virgin? The only possibility could be Mary should have already expected that this birth of child is going to be before her marriage. According to Jewish system, the period between the betrothal and the marriage are well separated, not like these days. These days, sometimes marriage happens before any betrothal or engagement. But during those period, according to Jewish system, this is well separated. And after betrothal, this is a custom. The groom will come and tell to the bride, I am betrothed to you now. Now I am going to my father's house to prepare a mansion for you. I don't know when I will come back. Only my father knows the time, and at that time I will come back and will take you home. Is it striking somewhere? Jesus was saying that about his second coming, isn't it? When we read the Jewish lifestyle, we can really enjoy the inner meaning of some beautiful statements like that. It is based upon their culture, their values, and we need to interpret now to our present situation. So that's what Mary got this point already, that something is going to happen during this period of waiting. So she asked, how can this be, Lord, since I am a virgin? If I was in Mary's place, I would have confused while the angel started explaining the process, saying that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. After hearing this statement, I would have been completely collapsed. I would have thought, what? How? Is it going to be possible? And immediately I will Google it and see, are there any histories recorded like this before? Straight away, I would call my medical doctor, someone, a friend, is it possible? I would ask, and I would bring all my basic biology studies done long ago. Is it possible? And nothing of that can be possible by seeing this statement. But after hearing this thunderous announcement, what was Mary's response? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I was really overwhelmed hearing what Mary has said, for that powerful, shocking news. She took it. She yielded herself. She completely believed God as a childlike faith. In her simplicity, she completely surrendered herself for God's will to be accomplished to this world through her. She didn't think about anything, what the neighbor would say, what the church would say, what my friend would say, nothing. She just humbly surrendered herself for God's will to be done. So the birth of Jesus Christ is presented here as a miracle and a supernatural occurrence. Those who reject primarily the possibility of supernatural occurrence, for them, it would be difficult or not able to accept it, because their doubts spring from the world view. Their response would be, I am confused. It is looking like all fun. How I am going to, is it possible? But for those who even accept this supernatural occurrence possibility, they still look for various external sources because of lack of faith. Our Christian faith has now become as a theme of approaching with worldview and intellectualities. Our theologians are now spending more time in science than in scripture to prove the world that God really exists. And our archaeologists are digging further to find more evidences to prove to the world Jesus Christ came to this earth and he lived. So our life has become like that. Even in our daily life, we pray for some miracle to happen, some healing to happen in our life, because we believe that Christ, through Christ, nothing is impossible. And we accept that God can do miracles in our life. But what happens? Once we got into our medical procedures, we start looking at the medical facts what they say. We rely on that. And we forget about God, who has that supernatural power in Him, is working in our lives. We slowly shrink ourselves in asking God to heal us. Rather, we progressively leaning towards asking God to give us peace and strength going through that process. There is nothing wrong in asking peace and strength to go through that process. We need it. We definitely need to pray for that. But what happened to the prayer of healing we asked before? Sometimes, even in the Christendom, we were educated in such a way that asking for healing, for His miracle to happen in our life, whether it would tag us under the health and wealth ministry. So we are afraid of it. So we shrink ourselves and say that, yes, Lord, give me peace, give me strength. Absolutely, ask for it. But we cannot underestimate the power of God. If we believe that Christ can do anything, can do impossible things in a possible way, then it means that His power has not diminished yet. And He is the same miracle-working God even in this generation. While reading these passages, especially Matthew and Luke during this Christmas season, I always wonder how God worked in different places in this way, connecting different people about the same issue around the same time. In Nazareth, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, "You will give birth to a son." And few months before, the same angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah, and he told him that your son is going to be the Messiah's predecessor. And I presume the angel might have appeared to Elizabeth before Mary went to see Elizabeth, because Elizabeth was saying, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So someone might have gone and explained to Elizabeth about Mary, about what she is going through, and why she is coming and greeting her or visiting her. So Elizabeth was saying that. So I thought, like, how? That is a wonderful working of God, working in different places. But recently, I experienced a similar one. I think it was during last Christmas. And Benita, my daughter, was here for Christmas, celebrating with us. And Benita's friend was staying in the university for some exams to take. And her aunt in India suddenly passed away. She was so much attached to that aunt, and she was in a terrible shock. She wanted to share that with someone. So she called her parents, but the parents from New Zealand were flying from New Zealand to India to attend the funeral and other things. This girl was in the university. The aunt, the lovely beloved aunt, passed away in India. Parents are flying, and Benita and myself, we are in the London. And she called us at 3 o'clock in the morning. For some reason, we were awake at that time. And she called us and shared with, she was desperate to share with someone. Since it was the Christmas time, she had no friends around her in the university. So I could talk with her, and we prayed, and she was comforted, and she slept peacefully, it seems, after that. 2 weeks before, I visited Benita and I met that friend, and she said, "Auntie, I can't forget that night." And it was really, I felt comfortable. You listened and you prayed with me. And I was telling her, "See how God works. You were in the university suffering, And God wants you to have a peaceful sleep on that night, and your aunt passed away in India, and parents and the relatives are traveling everywhere to that place, and we were in the London, and you called us, and God woke us up at that time to pray for you. This is what God does for His people, for us, for His children. If something He wants to do, the time is not a matter for Him. The place is not a matter for Him. The people, wherever they are, He will connect that together. And He will call us all together to pray for this lovely soul. And if God decides, no one can stand against that. Let us believe that God is our Father. We are privileged through Christ. We can call Him Abba Father, a close relationship. But always let us remember the powerful and mightiness of God. The supernatural occurrence happened in His birth. And this supernatural power is still living among us. Let us believe in Him like Mary believed, receiving Christ in a humble way, in a childlike way, and surrendering ourselves for His will be done in this world through us. Amen.